great white throne judgment. The great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now that book of life is not the Lamb's book of life. That book of life is what you and I do during our lives is recorded. And so that's the book of life. And all those things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This book of life is the Lamb's book of life. So let me just throw something out to you real quickly. We have already. The chart on the back. So let me get to that same chart. So we're clear to the end here. Okay, we're at the very end here. So let me just, some of you are new here and some of you didn't go through the whole thing. So the next thing we're looking forward to is what? Speak out. The rapture. Well, the rapture of the Christ, those in Christ. Yes, the church is going too, but those in Christ. Never in the Bible does it say the rapture of the church. Can't find it. You can't find it. Those in Christ, that includes the church. Everybody that's saved goes up. In fact, some people that are in the church are not saved. I'm sure Nikki's seen that in the church down in Wapato when she's there, and other of you have seen it here. People that claim to be saved, all of a sudden they come a month, a year at church, and then all of a sudden they're at the altar saying, I was never saved. And we lead them to Christ and then baptize them. No, we didn't rebaptize them, because scriptural baptism is after salvation. I don't care how many times I dunk you in the tank, you're not going to get saved by that tank. We have a baptism this morning. Brian's going to get baptized. Lord willing, I don't know where he'll show up, I'm sure. But that doesn't say, I told him, they ain't saving, you're already saved. Amen? But we've had people come forward and get saved later on. I've seen preachers even walk down there, and I said, well, what's going on? The preacher got saved. That can happen. You know, we think we know the words, and then finally it gets in our heart. So all Christians will be raptured. That's the next thing coming. After that starts the 7-year tribulation period on this earth. Amen? 7 years, the Bible calls it the day of the Lord. After that 7 years, at the end of it, the Lord's going to come, destroy the enemy, and set up his kingdom. How long's the kingdom? Raise a hand. Well, okay, that's good. It does last forever. But how long on this earth, Nikki? 1,000 years. That's where the word millennium comes. Yes, his reign will be forever, but that reign on this earth is 1,000 years. We just studied that. At the end of the 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed on this earth for a season. We don't know what that is. If you go by the calendar, that's 3 months. That's the average seasons. But we don't know. It could be just a week. But he gathers up a group of people to fight against the one on the throne, Jesus, and fire comes from heaven and destroys them all. Cast the devil into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. And now we come to the end time. And that is called the Great White Throne Judgment or Examination Day. Now, us Christians have already been examined. Called the Christian Judgment Seat. That took part during the tribulation period. Up in heaven, we are being judged. What are we judged for? Are we judged for our sins? No. That's it. What we do in our bodies. Listen to me very carefully. I appreciate all the prayers you give for us, for the church, for the Sunday school class, for other Christians. We need to pray one for another. Amen? Prayers are very much needed, and nowhere in the Bible says don't pray. But we're not going to be judged according to our prayers. We're not going to be judged according to our writings. Some people have journals, and the only time we're going to find out what's in that journal is when they're dead. They're going to find a journal. Oh, they wrote some great poems. Well, it didn't do any good while they were alive. Now all of a sudden they're passed away. We find these poems and stuff. But we're going to be judged according to the works done in our bodies. That's why we need to take care of our bodies. We do. Come on. Somebody say amen, even if it hurts. Amen. Lift that voice. Amen. But we need to. But we're going to be judged. So, but it's not whether we go to heaven or not. It's for our rewards in heaven and our position during the millennial kingdom. Our position is servant or ruler. Unprofitable servant or enter into the kingdom. You know, I'll give you, what did he say? You were good, you were faithful in a few things, I'll make you rule over many. See? So I don't know about you. I want me, as well as each and every one here today, to rule during the millennial kingdom instead of serve. Oh, yes, I have no doubt that you wouldn't mind serving Christ for 1,000 years, but it's not honorable to any employer. I tell you what, teachers, some of you teach. Would you rather your kids flunk or pass? Would you rather them become good students or poor students? It's a reflection on you and your teaching abilities if you have a student that never improves. Same thing as an employer. Yes? That's it. We want them to excel. In the same way as an employer, amen, we would love to see our men and our women expand and get better in their job, not stay a laborer their entire lives. Amen. We don't want them peons all day. We want them to advance. And same thing with the Lord. It's an insult to our Lord when he gives us all this stuff to advance and we don't. Amen. No. Forget it. He had his hand up. I don't know if he was drying his armpit out or what. Anyway, so now we come to the end time, and that is the judgment seat. Now, remember this. This is not whether they go to heaven or hell. They're already at the wrong, they're at the wrong judgment. We're all going to be judged. Remember what the Bible says, appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. So once we die, we're going to be judged by God. We're going to give an account of ourselves. Now, those of us that are saved, we're going to be given our account of how we worked for Christ after we got saved. Now, don't listen. Let's stop worrying. I hear people, I wasted so much time. Stop. Don't waste another moment. Draw a line in the sand because you're judged from that day you got saved. I got saved February 4th, yesterday, 50 years ago, I got saved. From that February 4th, 1973, to this date, 50 years, I have 50 years of God judging my works. Amen? You say, well, I got saved last week. Well, guess what? You only have a week to give an account for. You don't have to give an account for the years before that. Some of you have just recently been saved. Quit looking in the past and go, I blew it. Turn around. Amen? Start marching forward because we're going to be judged according to our works. Well, they're going to be judged according to works on how severe hell's going to be. Remember the Bible says? Some will be beaten with few stripes, some with many. So hell's, yes, but it's still hell. It's still separation from God forever. But they're going to be punished. But he's looking for one work. John chapter 12, I think, I want to say it's verse 27. He's looking for one work. Or chapter 6, verse 20. He's looking for one work. Did you believe on him whom I have sent? He said, this is the work of God. This is what I'm looking for. Believe on him whom I have sent. It's obvious if they're there, they did not believe on him whom they have sent. So we need to understand that. So look, if you would, please, in our introduction, just to let you understand the judgments of the believer's sins, of judgments of sins, actually, found on the cross of Jesus. We need to understand that judgment's already over. Believer, you're not going to be judged according to your sins. All God's people said. Amen. The judgment of the believer on themselves, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, says we ought to judge ourselves. How many of you parents, if you could raise a hand, attesting it, if your child came and confessed that they did something wrong, am I right, you are less severe on a punishment, aren't you? Then if you have to find out and then they lie about it, especially if they lie about it, you want to beat the snot out of the kid, you know? Well, what always bothered me, and I told my sons especially, I says, I want to raise you as honest men. I want you to go out in this community and your word is your bond. You're known by your word. When you say something, you say, I'm going to be there. Man, heaven and earth has got to, heaven's got to stop you to you get there, because you're going to get there. Be a man of your word. So don't lie to me. That trust between me and you is needs to be there. So if they come and confess, I did it, boy, I'm less severe on them. I'll just look at the list. Well, it says two swats, whack, whack. If they're lying, it's... No, wind up. I just spin around. No, anyway, all I'm saying is this, that we're less... The Lord says the same thing. If you chastise yourself, if you... Not chastise, but if you confess yourself, if you judge yourself, then you won't be judged. We got a great God, isn't it? He's fair to that. So confess our sins. He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? We see number three that, and that's the judgment of the believer's works. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as well as 1 Corinthians 3. That's called the Christian judgment seat. That's why I got CJS there. We got the judgment of the living nations. After the tribulation period, they're going to be judged, and some are going to be destroyed, and others are going to enter into the kingdom. We see the judgment of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. It's the end of the tribulation period. Then we see the judgment of the wicked angels found in Jude 6 as well as 2 Peter chapter 2. They will finally be cast in the lake of fire. Right now they're being held, but they'll be cast in the lake of fire forever. And then we see the judgment of the wicked, and that's where we're at now. The unsaved. The Bible calls dead in Christ, which all of us were. If you're saved by grace, you once, like me, were dead in Christ. But God, through his mercy, saved us. Amen. And now we are alive. We're quickened. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6. So the first thing we see here is an example of God's judgments. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were judged. Why were they judged? Lift a hand up, please. Why was Adam and Eve judged? Okay. Explain that a little bit better. Disobeyed God. That's more. That's what they did. That was the action, but the actual heart was they disobeyed God. Now, isn't this natural? Come on, parents. You tell your kids you can play everywhere but there. Guess where they're going to be? Going to be there, aren't they? You've done that before. But isn't it true, though? And Adam and Eve got all this beautiful garden. You can eat even the tree of eternal life you can eat. But instead of eating the tree of eternal life, they're over at good knowledge of good and evil. Standing there, oh, there's forbidden fruit? Where? And they go over there and they eat of it. What was their punishment? All right, someone lift a hand. Okay, let me start. What was the woman's punishment? Pain in childbirth, something else. This is what you ladies hate. You hate this verse. Submit under their own husband. Don't blame the husbands for saying that. It's your fault. Okay, what was the punishment of the man?
To work the earth,
okay. So he's going to have to work.
The curse of the earth,
sweat of his brow. It's actually called labor. Your work's going to be harder, and it's going to be rough on you. That's why guys still today die sooner than women. Women usually outlive the guy. And so that's one of the reasons. And they're going to be cast out of the Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel on Genesis. So Roman numeral 1b, Cain. What did he do? Okay. Kyle, lift your hand, please. Instead of just holler out, because I can't see who's hollering.
Sin and pride.
Okay. I'll give you that. Okay. My way, Lord, not your way. Basically what he's saying. I want to do my sacrifice. That's what the sin of Cain is. I want to do it my way, Lord.
He killed his brother.
So he murdered his brother. That was the act. Kind of like forbidden fruit. So he murdered his brother. I've had people say, well, it's the community that's causing people to go bad. Well, Cain and Abel grew up in a good community. I mean, all they had was mom and dad. They had no TV, no internet. They didn't even have a McDonald's or a Walmart. And so he goes out and kills it. Now, what was his punishment?
Sin and
Okay, a mark was put upon him so others wouldn't kill him. Actually, that was mercy. I'm going to put a mark on you that no one would kill you. Okay, so I don't know what it was. It wasn't that he was black. I actually heard a preacher say that one time. I said, "You're an idiot." I said, "You're an absolute idiot." No, he's put a mark stuck on him somewhere, who knows. And what else? He was separated from the family. He was separated from God's family, basically. And it's interesting. He could have repented, but he didn't. There was no repentance in him, kind of like Esau, right? In Noah's days, Roman numeral 1c in Genesis 6, Noah's days. Okay, what was their sin? Now, this is interesting. I even had a guy that, Kent Hovind. Anybody ever heard of Kent Hovind? Kent Hovind believes that angels came down and had sexual relationships with human women. I started laughing. I have not met Ken Hovind personally, but I did write him a note and says, "You need to get your brain put on." Because didn't my Bible says we are not like the angels? Angels do not reproduce. They do not reproduce. This was Cain and Seth. The men of this world, Cain, and the men of God, or women of God, Seth. So, you know, that's a stupid thing. So what happened? So they sinned. They had sin. They started doing stuff like they started. Bible says they did everything imaginable in their heart. Isn't that where we're at today? I mean, we're in a day and age where there's no shame, no morality. People, I can't believe how people dress. How many of your mamas would have just about come unglued if your kids walked out of the house in their pajamas to go grocery shopping? I mean, come on, ain't no way. I mean, my mom wouldn't even let me walk out with a torn shirt.
Not just our mamas. I used to hate to walk out with a patch on my
teeth. Yeah, there you go. You'd be walking around like this. Now they rip them up, tear them up, got everything showing underneath. Isn't that sad? But just not just the way they dress, just how they act. So what happened? Noah's day. Come on, I'm giving you Bible history of God's judgment. What did God do? Come on, you know what? Okay, they flood. The flood came. The flood came up. The flood came down. The canopy above fell down. All that ice and stuff that was protecting our atmosphere. I don't know if you know this, folks. That was 4,500 years ago, and we're still here. That ozone's been gone for 4,500 years. This dumb talk is just dumb talk. 4,500 years ago, it was gone. Oh, I don't know if you know this. According to AOC, we don't have 3.5 years to live anyway. Remember, she gave a prediction a few years ago, 4 years ago. 7 years, just about 4 years ago. Noah's day, how many were saved? Lift a hand, please. Eight. Good. Eight were saved. Noah and his family. Isn't that sad? And when you start looking at the dimensions of this ark, a lot more than eight could have showed up. And you know, they got aboard and the Lord left the door open for 7 days. And then the Bible says the Lord shut the door. It didn't say Noah shut it. The Lord shut the door. And that's interesting, isn't it? And Genesis 19, verses 1 through 29, we see Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. So you can write that in there, Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says wickedness cried up to heaven. Oh, I can't even imagine what's going on today. Can you imagine what? It's not one city. That was, well, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's two cities. Back then were evil. Man, today it seems like there's a bunch more than that. I mean, we're living in what they call the Christian nation, and look at all the immorality going on in the Christian nation. In fact, if you speak morality, you're called a bigot. And that's something. I still remember, it's been about 8 years now, right below here, that's a little bit more over that way, is a workroom, and I was having a meeting with one of the young men in our church. And he says, "What you stand for offends some people." I said, "I would rather offend people than offend God." Amen. And we live in a day and age of preachers and Christians are so afraid to offend people that they're offending God in the process. Amen? Okay, I'll put it this way. I do not like rice. Some of you know that. If my wife invited Rebecca and Les over and served rice, she would offend me. And if she looked at me and says, well, I didn't want to offend Rebecca and Les, I would be upset. You care more about Rebecca than Les than me? You'd rather offend me than Rebecca and Les? Are you following me? I'm just showing you with God. Can you imagine God saying, I created you, these are my rules, and then you go off and you don't follow the rules or don't rebuke people to do because you're afraid to offend them? I would rather offend them than God any day. Guess what? I'm going to live with God forever. I only have to put up with him for a few years. And most of the people you and I have to rebuke, we ain't going to see again. We may see him once in our lifetime. And so just let it rip. Be nice. At least in your intent. Total destruction happened here. Total destruction. Fire came down from heaven and destroyed them all. And that's what happened. We see another one in Lamentations chapter 4, and that's to the Jews. In Deuteronomy, the Lord gave the Jews a choice. Blessing or what? Curse. Life or death. In the book of Leviticus, he makes a list of what I'm going to do to bless you if you follow me. Here's the list of things. I'm going to make you one, we'll chase 1,000. You're going to rule all the nations. But if you don't follow me, here's the curse. Now, here's what's wrong in America, I see. Listen, we're going to get to Family Day, and so we're going to pull this in to Family Day. And I really believe the core problem in America is not, quote, a biblical perspective, but I think we have destroyed the family so much to people actually abhor the thought of being married and starting a family. Mm-hmm. We have destroyed the family's beauty, the family structure, in such a way that people don't want to even get married anymore. So why I put that in there is, you know, when we go attack that family structure, we don't see the blessing. And in that family structure is this. Parents, you are to train your children. You are not, and I'm going to probably repeat this tonight, so be patient with me. We are not to just moderate them and allow the TV, the internet, or public school to train our kids. And we have lost out on that. And here's one of the reasons. I don't remember when the years, because it was somewhere around my wife and I, we had our 7 children, and we got rebuked so many times because our kids would mention that they got a spanking. And we started, and a guy named Dr. Spock, you might remember that guy? Yes. And back then, let me see, it was Dr. Spock. Oprah wasn't around yet. She didn't open her big mouth till later on. But that Dr. Spock messed some people up. And I remember my sister-in-law coming up. She's a couple years younger than Brenda. And she came up and she said this. Well, I just don't know if I want to spank my children or punish my children. I said, do you reward them for good? Yes. Well, that's unfair to your child. You're teaching your child to be enabled. That if they ever do good. What did the Lord say when he said to his servant, go out in the field and work, and when you come in, serve me, and then sit down and say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing my job. Don't expect reward for doing what you're supposed to do. I don't know about you. I go out and work, and I expect a pay, but I don't expect a bonus for doing what I'm supposed to do. And today, go clean your room. Do I get an allowance? My dad said, yes, I'm allowing you to live. That's what he said. And if you clean your room, you can have supper. Amen. That was my allowance. But I heard someone, well, teach them how to responsibility and money. Okay, then have them buy the things they want to buy. If they want something with that money they're making. All I'm trying to say is we've stopped doing that. So we don't punish our kids. We just reward them. And we got Christians today that can't stand punishment. And the Jews forgot that. They got all the blessings when God blessed them. When David was there and Solomon was there. Oh, wow. All the way throughout the world, they were known as a great nation because they feared God. Even the Queen of Sheba came up to visit. You remember when it says she saw all of his servants? She saw all the wares he had, the money. But when he ascended up to the throne of God, I mean, the house of God, her spirit was moved. What happened to that Israel? It's gone. Because they got fullness of bread, or abundance of bread, and idleness of time. And they deserted the Holy One in Israel. And now they're going to be punished. And we see that. What do they have? Well, they had captivity. Write that in. Captivity, starvation, and defeat. The Jews saw captivity, starvation, and defeat. Because they did not follow the Lord. Let's remember something. We have a benevolent, loving God. All God's people said. I was talking to this lady. I told you about this, about hell. And I told her, I said, listen to me very carefully. All of us deserve to go to hell. We've all done things that we deserve to go to hell. But by the grace of God, those who trust in Christ are not going to have to go there. That's the love of God. God so loved the world that he didn't punish anybody. It's not what it said. That whosoever, that he gave his son, and that whosoever believeth on him should not, what? Perish, be punished, but have everlasting life. You know how much God loves the world? He tries to plant one of these kind of churches in every city. That's how much he loves. He loves the world so much that he gives us more and more chances to get saved. We will, anybody miss a blank here? Anybody in complete blankhood? It was to the Jews. The last one is the Jews. Captivity, starvation, and defeat. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? Good. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the participation of the church here. And I pray that you'll help our Sunday school class continue to grow. May we, Lord, as we go through these lessons, see, the, first of all, the truths of the Word of God, but secondly, the love of God, that he loves us so much that he does not want anybody to go through this. May we see the severity of God's wrath and try to warn our friends and loved ones. May we gather a more hastening spirit when it comes to our soul-winning efforts, Lord. Guide the rest of the services. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen.